Continue this morning in our series on experiencing Jesus. And today I want to take us to this text in Mark chapter 7, where we're once again back into the action of Mark. Remember, Mark is the writer of the Gospels who wants to tell us all the exciting details as quickly as he can about the things that Jesus is doing. He wants to cram as many of Jesus' miracles into his text as he can get in there. And so whenever he talks about something, we get just the facts. And in this story today, in Mark 7, we get the facts about this very interesting character. He is a man that has been, who is deaf and is mute. He's a man who is unable to speak with hardly any clarity at all, and who is deaf. Maybe the text gives us a clue. He can read lips, but he's an interesting character. He's in a town where God has used Jesus to touch some other interesting characters. The first person we met from this region of the Decapolis, if we read verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre. He went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis." If we had read earlier in Mark 5, we would have read the story about Jesus healing a demon-possessed man who hung out by the tombs, and a pretty incredible story. And at the end of that, Jesus tells the man, he says, "Tell other people what God has done for you." So now we revisit that area, and as we revisit that area, it seems that that man that Jesus has already healed has done a good job at spreading the word about Jesus. And so when Jesus arrives there in this area of the Decapolis, which is also called the Ten Cities, a very Gentile region of the area, when Jesus arrives there, in verse 32 it says, "There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk." Now I want to stop just there for a moment, and I want us to experience this idea for a second. Here's how this is going to work. I'm going to use hand signals here because you're not going to be able to hear me very well through this next little exercise. So in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to put your fingers, not in your ears, that's just gross, but on your ears and push them shut. All right, and then when I pull up my hand like that, that means you can take your hands back down again. Okay, open them up. Are you ready? Let's go. Okay. Now, it's kind of a weird experience to see someone talking and not able to hear what they say. Now, this time I want you to get the second part of that, because this man could barely speak. So for this part, you're going to have to do something kind of weird. When we go the second time, you're going to put your tongue on the back of your top teeth. Okay, and I'm not trying to make a silly sound here, but I'm going to put your tongue in the back of your top teeth so it's locked in and you can't move your tongue. Then I want you to close your fingers over your ears and say the word Jesus. Are you ready? Go. Well, that sounds weird, doesn't it? To hear the mumbling and unable to say the word Jesus is even frustrating, even this morning. I mean, it doesn't sound like Jesus very clearly when you do that. We need to imagine what it was like for this man who was unable to hear Jesus. Think about what this represented in his world. Jesus is this masterful communicator. And somehow he has gotten the words about, or his friends at least have gotten the words about what Jesus did for others. And his friends are wanting Jesus to do something for this man, because he's unable to hear the great communicator. And it's difficult for people to convey to this man what Jesus is saying. It's difficult for him to experience that. And he can't even say the words, Jesus, to ask Jesus to come to him. He can't even speak the words, Jesus, come help me. And so he finds himself in a most pitiable of situations. So we can imagine what it's like for him in his circumstance. The next part that's interesting there says, "There are some people brought to him a man, and they begged him to place his hand on the man." I want to ask you a series of questions this morning, but I want to ask you, who are you bringing to Jesus? You're getting this theme over and over in the Experiencing Jesus series. Who are we bringing to Jesus? It's the same question we asked when we did the four men carrying their friend on the mat to Jesus. It's a recurring question we ask. And here, these people are bringing to Jesus a man who's deaf. And they don't just bring him to Jesus. They beg Jesus on his behalf. Who are you begging Jesus for? I mean, I'm being serious. When's the last time you begged Jesus for something? When's the last time you fell on your knees and said, "Please, Jesus, please"? These people had a heart for their friend, and they begged. They groveled. They humbled themselves because they cared so much for this man. And they had the faith that said, if you just place your hand on him, Jesus, he'll be made whole. And so the text then goes on and it says, and after he took him aside, away from the crowd. I think this is an interesting part of the text. He takes him aside, away from all of the rest of the crowd. He takes him to a place of privacy. Jesus isn't interested in using this guy as a billboard. He isn't interested in using him as a way of calling attention to himself. No, he calls him alone to a different spot. It seems that when he does this, maybe the disciples are there, but the rest of the crowd is gone. He draws him away. I want you to know that Jesus desires to draw you off to the quiet place where you can have some one-on-one, where he can communicate with you and you can communicate with him. And so he takes him away from the crowd. And then the incredible happens. Jesus puts his fingers into the man's ears. And then he spit, kind of gross, and touched the man's tongue. I always ask the question, why did he spit? Why did it have to be that? In the ancient world, spittle was considered a curative. It had curative properties. And so the man that was deaf, the man who was mute, who couldn't hear what Jesus would have experienced, what was very common in his culture, if Jesus had done this. We might think it's a little bit gross, and many theologians have tried to make more out of this maybe than the text makes of it. Some have said, well, out of the enemy Satan's mouth is venom, and everything that he has brings death. Out of Jesus' mouth, everything he has, every word, even the spittle, brings life. It's kind of a curious thing that he would use spit. It's a curious thing that he would stick his fingers into a person's ears. Jesus wasn't above doing those kinds of things. You have to experience it from the perspective of the man who couldn't speak. Out of the great communicator's mouth would come that which would free a tongue that had not been loosened. And from the hands of a healer would come the touch that would restore his ears. These are windows, if you will, to the soul that Jesus uses to speak to the deaf man so he could understand what he was doing. I want you to understand something, that Jesus does all kinds of things and works in all kinds of ways even today. Some are easy for us to understand. We love the ones where he just says, speak the word and you're healed. We like that. But sometimes healing happens in other ways. Sometimes it's through the touch of a hand or the anointing of oil, or it's through the hand of a doctor or a surgeon. Many conduits through which Jesus works healings even today. So there he is. Jesus has put his fingers in his ears. He has touched the man's tongue. And then Jesus looks up into heaven and with a deep sigh, he says to him, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And at this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Can you imagine what it's like to hear for the very first time? Can you imagine? Look at this video as some people hear for the very first time.
Did you hear it? Hi, Cooper. Hi, Cooper. Hi, Cooper. There you go.
He's speaking.
And now technically your device is on. Yeah?
Bye. myself.
Yeah. That's good.
It's okay.
Hi, baby.
Blue.
Blue.
Orange.
Orange.
Red.
Red.
Black.
Black.
Purple.
Purple.
Grayson. Can you imagine for the first time hearing how incredible, how awesome? Today God has worked through doctors to allow incredible things to happen. It's a great gift that He's given to us that we can restore hearing to so many. In Jesus' day, in the absence of technology and doctors, Jesus did it the old-fashioned way. He put His hands on His ears, and the Creator of life restored His creation to its full capacity. I love this story. I love it for so many reasons. It has spiritual connotations, and there's all kinds of things that come out of this story. Jesus has talked a lot about spiritual deafness, people that are all around Him that hear His words but don't seem to hear them. They don't grasp them. They don't put them into practice in their lives. And so Jesus frequently speaks about the people as though they were deaf. He says, "He who has ears, let them hear." And He castigates them and chastises them for their lack of hearing and understanding what Jesus is saying. Oh, the things that He would have us to hear today. Were Jesus here, would He speak to us and would we hear His voice? Jesus says that My sheep hear My voice. They follow Me. And I wonder how closely are we hearing His voice today? We who have ears that are loosed and tongues that can speak. Oh, how do we use them? Do we speak for Him and do we hear what He tells us? Oh, that we would have the ability to hear the things that He needs for us and wants for us to hear. You know that phrase that He used, to be opened, that phrase, ephaphra, it occurs only one time in the New Testament. It's a Greek word, and if we go back into the Hebrew and we read the same word in the Hebrew text, the Septuagint version, the Greek version of the Hebrew text, that word shows up again in the prophecies of Isaiah. And it's Isaiah the prophet who tells us, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy." Jesus, Mark wants us to understand, is fulfilling the prophecies of old. Jesus is not just a healer of the body, He is a healer of the soul. He is the Messiah, the promised one. And there are people who are just as desperate as the deaf man for Jesus' touch and Jesus' healing of their spiritual condition today. This man's ears were open, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak clearly. And then the most interesting thing, to the demon-possessed man, Jesus had told him, "Tell everybody, go tell what God has done for you." To the deaf man, whose tongue had been closed, Jesus gives him this interesting phrase. He says he commanded them not to tell anyone. But it didn't matter. The more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Once that tongue was loosed, it was loosed. And he couldn't stop talking about who Jesus was and what Jesus has done for him. And friends, we must not stop talking. We must not stop talking about what Jesus has done for us. We must be able to say it with clarity and understanding, to talk to people and say, "You're not going to believe what Jesus is doing in my life. You're not going to believe what Jesus is doing in our church. You're not going to believe what Jesus is doing." Because if you don't talk, the rocks themselves will cry out, right? God will always have a witness. People were hearing things. They were hearing things about Jesus because of this man. I wonder, what are people hearing because of us? What are people hearing because of you? It just so happens this past week I heard a little bit about you. Listen in on the phone call that I received this week.
Heritage. My name's Joanne, and I'm actually on the road back to Terre Haute from Louisville. And I heard your ad about the warm meal every other Saturday and food, and I just want to say bravo to you. I'm an older person, so I'm used to the day when churches used to go meet people and do what I felt like we were called to do. You don't see that much anymore. So anyway, I'm not anyone special, just someone that was really touched that you guys are actually providing food for people. So bravo, bravo, and God bless you as well. All right, have a great day. Bye.
Wow. People are hearing some things about you, aren't they? You're making a difference. Your message, your mission, your ministry is transforming the world. And people who just pass by on their way from Louisville to Terre Haute via Columbus, Indiana, must have family somewhere there. They're being touched because of what you're doing. They're being impacted. May that tribe increase more and more. And may we impact more and more people for Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder about something else in this story. There's this interesting phrase, Ephaphra, Ephaphra, be opened, be opened. And I would ask the question this morning, what needs to be opened in us? What needs to be opened in us? For the man in the story, it was an ear and a tongue, a mouth that needed to be opened. But what needs to be opened in us? For some of us, perhaps we need to have our hearts opened again so that we might care for and love someone we have long since written off. For some of us, we need to have our minds opened so that we might no longer be closed to hearing and reading and understanding what God has for us in His Word and His Scripture. For some of us, our hands need to be opened so we quit holding so tightly the things, the blessings that we have, and we're free to use those gifts and abilities and to share them with others. What needs to be opened in you? Is a question that's worth considering. Perhaps we need to hear those words spoken to us today. Ephaphra, Ephaphra, be opened, be opened. The last verse of the text says, the people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Friends, Jesus does everything well. Amen. When we think about Jesus, understand that He has done the work that had to be done with excellence for you. He has given His best for you. He has done everything well. It may be here that you're here this morning and that you yourself are trapped in a kind of prison. Perhaps it is not a prison of deafness or muteness, but it is a prison that still holds you in a space where you're unable to be all that you were created to be and to experience all that God has for you. That is where you are if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you this morning to come to the healer, the restorer, the one who opens minds and hearts. Come to Jesus and be touched by Him this morning as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.